From the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX, this is Reveal. I'm Al Letson. This week, we're collaborating with the Associated Press for another look at the conflict in Ukraine. Some experts say it's becoming a war of attrition, but what does that mean in terms of human lives? We just heard about one officer's decision to desert the Russian army and flee the country. That story came from AP investigative reporter Erica Kienitz, and she's with me now. So I wanted to ask you, what is the scale in terms of desertions in the Russian army?
A number of signs indicate that a growing number of Russian soldiers want to get out of the war. Get Lost, the group that helped Yevgeny escape, has been getting record numbers of requests from people seeking to desert, more than 500 in the first 2 months of 2024. These days, around 30% of all requests for help are coming from active duty soldiers. A year ago, it was just 3%. Still, I think we should put this in the context of Russia's overall troop strength. Russia has around 470,000 troops on the ground in Ukraine, according to one leading think tank in London. And so morale may be falling, but Russia's still got a lot of troops on the ground.
So it sounds like there aren't many deserters that are actually making it to the West, and that's where a lot of them want to go. I would think that if you create incentives for soldiers to desert, like offering them support, it could be one way to deplete the Russian military. So why aren't Western countries stepping up?
It's true. A lot of people do want to leave, and very few people are getting in. So we got some data on this and found that fewer than 300 Russians got refugee status in the U.S. in fiscal 2022. We can't say how many were soldiers, but we can say that in 2022, the number of asylum requests the U.S. Department of Homeland Security got from Russians nearly quadrupled to almost 9,000. France and Germany have also seen surges. Asylum requests from Russians were up more than 50% last year in France and more than doubled in Germany. But the deserters we spoke with, like many people in Russia, particularly in the armed forces, have passports that only allow them to travel within a handful of former Soviet states. So it's hard for them to even get to places like France and Germany and America to claim asylum. I think also for a lot of people, Russian soldiers who desert just don't draw a lot of sympathy. And Western countries haven't really made up their minds as to whether they're potential national security assets or threats. Are these guys spies? Are they war criminals? Or are they heroes?
So you and your team made an effort to document the scale of the carnage of this war. What have you found?
I think it'll probably take years before we can really get an accurate picture of how many people have died in this war. For now, we can say that Western intelligence estimates put the number of casualties on both sides at more than 500,000. That kind of human toll has not been seen in Europe since World War II. And the dead are transforming the landscape. You can see the scale of loss from satellite images. And from the sky, the graves look the same on both sides of the front. Fields that were once empty are now just quilted with these patchworks of fresh tombstones. President Zelensky recently said that at least 31,000 Ukrainian soldiers have been killed in this war. That's less than half of what Washington has estimated, but it's much more forthright than Putin has been about Russian losses. Moscow's silence hasn't stopped work being done by Mediazona, the independent Russian media outlet, and BBC's Russian service. They've confirmed the deaths of nearly 50,000 Russian soldiers who've been killed since the full-scale invasion. And they say that number probably captures just over half of the true death toll.
The scale is just, it's hard to wrap your head around that number of people dying.
It is. That's why we wanted to see what these cemeteries looked like from space. And that is still only a fraction of the total numbers out there.
I want to bring someone else into the conversation. Solomia Hera is a Ukrainian reporter who's worked alongside Erica and helped count those graves in Ukraine. Hey, Solomia.
Hi.
So tell me, I know that you've seen a lot of graves. What struck you the most?
So when I visited cemeteries, what struck me really is amount of rows of graves filled with Ukrainian flags, flowers, and personal belongings of young soldiers. And many of these soldiers were born after 2000.
Yeah, so you're looking at all these grave sites. for really young people whose lives really hasn't even gotten started.
Yeah, exactly. And this is what is shocking. Mm.
It sounds like talking publicly about the death toll in Ukraine is something of a taboo. How do ordinary people feel about that?
Indeed, it was a decision of Ukrainian government until lately not to disclose number of casualties. For Ukrainian families, it's very important to talk about their dead family members who died for the sake of Ukraine. But for regular Ukrainians, when what they read in news, what they see in cemeteries does not match with numbers provided by government, then the question arises, what for did soldiers die? And one may ask, my son died for Ukraine, but Ukraine does not want to recognize his death. And therefore, some Ukrainian families feel it's disrespectful towards the dead soldiers not to say the actual count.
Erica, when people describe the conflict in Ukraine as a war of attrition, what does that really mean?
Yeah, attrition is kind of a nice word for something that's actually really very ugly. A war of attrition means that who prevails is increasingly shaped by who can tolerate higher losses. And by that measure, Moscow has a clear advantage. So I took a quick look at the demographics, and Russia had 3.7 times more men of fighting age than Ukraine did in 2022. That's according to data from the World Bank. And the analysts I've spoken with say that it will be very hard for Ukraine to outmatch Russia's forces, which have continued to grow in overall size despite hundreds of thousands of casualties, without significant help from Ukraine's international partners. Top needs that they flag are artillery ammunition and air defense capability. The failure of the U.S. Congress to approve $60 billion in aid for Ukraine is not helping. Lack of long-range artillery means that Ukrainian commanders have to push more people into the range of Russian fire to physically hold the front.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this sounds horrible, but Vladimir Putin can just throw more bodies at the problem, and it doesn't seem that he really cares about that.
Yeah, it seems like Putin knows that he can sustain higher losses than Ukraine can.
And that ties into, I guess, Ukraine's belief that they should not tell what the number of dead are, because if they say the actual number, it's really clear that, for lack of a better term, it's a dwindling resource, right?
Well, I think, you know, this has to be put into context. Saying how many people have died can be a real hit to morale. So neither Ukraine nor Russia really wants the true number of war dead to be known. That's the same for pretty much every war. I don't think there's transparency in wartime. And if you think of past wars, sometimes it takes decades for people to get the accurate data.
Erica Keynetz is an investigative reporter for the Associated Press. And Solomia Hera is a reporter who's been working with the AP in Ukraine. Thank you both for coming in.
Thanks, Al.
Thank you.
Coming up, Solomia introduces us to a Ukrainian man who recovers war dead from the battlefield. He has a message for the parents of Russian soldiers.
Why did you raise your children? For a bright future or for death?
That's ahead on Reveal.